Father God, I thank you so much that we can call on your name through your son's name. That by the power of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, I can call on your name. And we believe that you want us to call on your name. You want us to build this relationship. You want us to spend time with you, talking and listening, sharing our heart and soul and listening and asking you to search us and to know us, and also spending time searching out and knowing you more and more and more every day. May we be a people who hunger for you, and may we be a people who believe in intercessory prayer, who believe that when a loved one or a friend or a neighbor or just somebody in church that you heard their name is laying in a hospital bed somewhere, that we believe that we can call on your name, and you are powerful enough to reach down to wherever they are and comfort them with a peace that surpasses all understanding, and to heal them because you know their bodies more than any doctor on this planet. And you have the power over healing that the doctor can put it together, but ultimately you are the healer. So Lord, I pray for anyone connected in our church today that is in those kind of needs, for everything that's on the prayer wall, anything that's coming through online, any phone call that we get, Lord, I pray that you will comfort those people and that you will lead us to be a people who pray, call on your name and believe. And Lord, help any part of us that doesn't believe that you are a God who can do that and a God who hears our prayers and answers our prayers. So God, I pray for your guidance as we crack open your word today. Speak to us, pierce our hearts, show us more of who you are and who you're calling us to be. We love you, Jesus. We praise you in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to church. It's good to have you guys on this beautiful June Sunday. As we've been working through Philippians, this is the second time. So if you have your Bibles, like I said, open up to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to, in a moment here, we're going to look at Philippians 1 verses 12 through 18a. So you can go and just kind of camp out in that place there. And like I said, you know, my hope with all of this is that we can see that we can begin or grow in our depth of our rejoicing in knowing that no matter what happens in life, no matter the ups or downs, the ugly days, the good days, the bad days, whatever happens, we can say, well, this is my circumstance, and my circumstance might have a little bit of say over my happiness. But this summer, I don't just want to be happy this summer. I don't want to be happy. I want to be joyful, which means I want to look back to the cross no matter what is happening and rejoice in what Christ has done. And I want more and more people, more and more of my neighbors and my friends to experience that, to know Christ and to look at the cross and just say, well, that's the Christian symbol, but instead to look at the cross and say, no, that's my Savior. That is the tool that was used to crucify my Savior. My sins were nailed to that cross, and I rejoice because I am saved because of what happened on that cross. I am going to heaven because of what happened on that cross. We rejoice. We rejoice. And as we look at this book, this letter that was written to the church in Philippi, we call it the letter of Paul to the Philippians. We look at this, we see that Paul has this, he has an absolute preoccupation with Jesus Christ. Well, of course, right? It's the Bible. But I ask you, what kind of preoccupation do you have with Christ? See, in this letter is a total of 104 verses in the book of Philippians, and there are 51 references to the Lord Jesus by name. It's almost half of them, right? So 104 verses, 51 references to the Lord Jesus by name, and if you read through Paul's letter, he is unashamedly, boldly, confidently, as far as he possibly can, constantly pointing us back to Jesus. Constantly pointing the church back to Jesus. But Jesus, rejoice in Jesus. But Jesus, rejoice in Jesus. Yeah, I understand. But Jesus, rejoice in Jesus. And one of the things that we see him rejoicing in is the advance of the gospel. Because ultimately, he wants to see more people be saved. He wants to see more churches planted. He wants to see more families changed, more families begin to serve God generation after generation after generation. If you want to pass down, so that we can pass down a generation, pass down an inheritance of faith. Not that you get your, not that your parents' faith is you, there can be yours. You have to, but to pass down on those teachings, to be trained up in the Lord and carry it on, the torch of what Christ has done for you. So I want to begin by just kind of, before we read the scripture here, I just want to ask you to consider your life. Okay, so we all have to do this sometimes, right? We have to kind of consider what we do and what matters to me, okay? So when you look at your priorities and you look at what you go through in a day or in a week or just in life in general, and we have these ups and downs, right? We have, maybe you're going through something terrible right now. Maybe a loved one is really struggling right now, be it physical or be it spiritual or emotional, or maybe you yourself kind of feel like things are coming after you. It's like, I can't get any traction. It's like every time I think I get a leg up, I get two legs back, right? Like I pull myself up 3 feet and I slide back two. Pull myself up 3 feet, slide back two. As you're living your life, I just simply ask you, how important is it to you that the gospel progresses? How important is it really? How important is it really? A lot of times when we talk about finances, we say, I can tell you what your priorities are by looking down through your check registry and determine what you spend money on. Can we do the same with our priorities? To go down through the priority list and say, I can tell you what really, really matters to you. If I go down through your priority list and your to-do list, and you're to create list, and you're to decide list, and to your what am I spending my 24 hours on list, how important something really might be to you. But if you're going through something hard and terrible right now, maybe something good, perspective goes a long way, doesn't it? To look at something and say, okay, this is awful. This is awful. I don't want this. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. But suffering brings perseverance, builds character, glorifies God, advances the gospel. If you can look at something you're going through and say, huh, yeah, but look at these conversations I got to have with the people in that department at the hospital, or in the ambulance, or at the job fair that I didn't want to go to, but then I got canned and ended up at the job fair. Like, look at the relationships. Are you able to look with a perspective and say, yeah, but that advanced the gospel. Yeah, but I was able to show Christ's love in that situation. Yeah, but I'm growing and I'm sharing and spreading out. None of us wish ill on ourselves or anyone else. But that's my bring it in for us today as we started before we read the scriptures to understand, like, okay, so how important is it to you, and can you, no matter what, good or bad, painful or not, look at a something that happens and say, yeah, but the gospel is advancing. Yeah, but I had the opportunity to mention Christ's love, and God planted a seed in their heart. And maybe not today, but maybe next year or 10 years from now, that little seed is going to continue to be watered. And God is going to allow it to, God is going to make it to grow and their faith will grow. They will get saved, and they will, who knows what God will do with that. What matters at the end of the day is, are you rejoicing as the gospel advances, no matter what? What a great place to be, right? What a great place for any of us to be, to get to that point where we can go through anything by whatever it might look like and say, well, the gospel's advancing. Well, Jesus is becoming more famous. People are hearing the message of truth. So I want to look at, in light of that, I want to look at the book of Philippians, letter of Philippians, verses 12 through 18a. So I really love this. Now remember, Paul is writing this letter to this church from prison. He's in chains, and he is writing a letter to encourage a church to rejoice in all circumstances. Wow. All right? I mean, we can just gloss over that, or we can say, wow. What are you going to be doing when you're laying in prison? And this isn't a Pennsylvania prison, all right? Right? Like this can be some rough stuff sometimes. But depending on some things. But starting in verse 12, here's what he writes to them. He says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? What then? Right? What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." Wow. Now you look at that, and I hope you brought your Bible with you and can have it laying open with you on your lap as we look at this, because there's so many intricacies here to this chunk of this letter to understand the heart of Paul, which is a heart that he would long for us to share as we walk with Christ. A great man of God to emulate, who served God to the bitter end, who was the most important thing to him, was the advancement of the gospel. He wrote 13 of the New Testament books were written by Paul as letters to churches or to individuals. This is a man who was, other than his tent-making business to cover some of his funds, some of his expenses, he was all in for Christ. He was the apostle called to the Gentiles, the apostle called to the non-Jew to reach the world with Christ. And it's amazing when you look at this, because this guy's sitting in a prison. He's in chains. And what is he doing? He's letting us know, listen, in every opportunity, good or bad, even if you're sitting in prison, even if you feel like there's no hope and there's no out, ultimately he says, the spread of the message of Jesus is what matters. I live and I serve and I breathe and I exist to win others to the faith. That's all that matters to him, is to spread the good news, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And even in this prison cell, he says, you know what? Here's the first thing that you need to know. Here's the most important thing that you need to know. He says, everyone here, okay, so he's in jail, right? Everyone here is in jail in Rome, Roman Empire, not a Christian nation at this time. And he says, hey guys, guess what? Every one of these palace guards in the city of Rome, every single one of them, they know I'm here for Christ. They know that I'm not, they know that I wasn't drugged on a boat across the Mediterranean Sea because I'm a murderer or a thief or a rapist or some awful person who deserves to be here. They know I'm just here because I've been preaching faith in Jesus. Every one of them knows why I'm here. And I want you to know that I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. And believe that God is planting seeds. He's planting seeds. So this is one place where it's this great example that even in the ups and downs and in the way, way downs, he's taking opportunities at every opportunity to spread the truth. In the last 2 years of his life, you can read at the end of the book of Acts, he spent 2 years chained up in a house. And anyone who would come, he preached the message with them. Some say that this might be when he wrote the book of Philippians. So he's constantly evangelizing, constantly telling people, yeah, I look like I'm really, really struggling here. I really, really look down and out. Nobody wants to be in my shoes. And you know what? I don't really want you to be in my shoes. But everybody's hearing why I'm here. Everybody's telling everyone else why I'm here. We do that, right? We talk, we gossip, we share. It spreads, right? It spreads. But it's amazing to see. So what would we do in a situation like that? That no matter where we're at, we can rejoice. Because if we're sharing Christ by how we live and with our tongue, the gospel can advance. It's a beautiful thing. Now, I want to give you, now this is the example from 2,000 years ago, but I want to give you an example here on this piece from just a couple years ago. Some of you may be familiar with this if you keep a walk at all with things like the persecuted church, the voice of the martyrs, things like that. These publications that talk a lot about Christians throughout the world who are being tortured and imprisoned for their faith. There was a guy who just recently, I think it was in 2017, he got released from prison. This guy by the name of Pastor Yang. He's a house church pastor in China. And he was imprisoned for his faith for 2.5 years. 2.5 years. Now, they have all these made-up accusations. He's selling state secrets, all of that kind of stuff. But none of it's true. The truth is that they were just kind of coming up with a reason to throw this guy in prison. And they do that with a lot of people over there. It's a difficult place to do Christian work, but the church is growing because the church grows under persecution. And I don't get that, right? Like, that's got to be spiritual. That's got to be the Holy Spirit. Because if I'm the pastor on Pine Street and the pastor on East Mahoning Street gets arrested and beheaded, it's going to be a little harder for me to stand up and preach Jesus, right? Like, that's got to be supernatural. But there's a draw to that, and the gospel advances in times like that. But this guy is so cool because this guy's sitting in prison, and instead of thinking, woe is me, I just got to get out. Like, he starts writing these letters to his wife, and many of these you can find them online. And it's amazing because I know if I'm in that situation, I just don't know. What am I going to really, like, I'm going to be like, I'm going to write letters to my wife and be like, call the president, right? Like, get the ambassador in here. Be like, tell Trump I used to watch The Apprentice. I promise you, he will come and get me. I need out of here, right? Like, this is tough. Come on, come on, come on. But no, like, I mean, that's, what am I going to do, right? But like, this guy, it was amazing how the Lord was working in him, and he's sending these letters to his wife and encouraging her to focus more on God than the difficulties that he is going through. He says things like this. He says, our wonderful God, our Lord forever, who can guess his wisdom and mystery? Our faith is built on his words, and he never changes. He never does wrong. This is an unchangeable maxim. We listen to God, more to God and less to humans. And then he told his wife not to worry about his health. Don't worry about my fatty liver disease. Don't worry about my scabies. Don't worry about all of these canker sores, all these things that are happening that just continue to go on. He says, you know what? The suffering is bearable. The Lord has grace. Thank God. And then he ends by encouraging her and lifting up her spirit. The guy in prison is lifting up her spirit, saying, never be dejected and despondent. Always look up at our Lord and always keep the spiritual life above the chaos of the real environment. Rest in God's arms. Rest in God's arms. Be upright and care. Be prepared for the rest of the road. Just a little piece of how God is amazing in working in him. See, both Paul and Pastor Yang had this ability through the Spirit, and as a believer, you have the Spirit. Pray that the Lord will fill your cup today. They had this bigger perspective of who God is in their circumstance and what God is doing in the bigger picture. And ultimately, what matters is the spreading of his kingdom and the reaching of people with his good news. That even from a prison cell in China last year, this guy can say, listen, honey, it's gonna be okay. God is good. God is good. God is good. And I promise you, all of those men in that prison would also be well aware that this man didn't really sell state secrets. He's a house church pastor from down the road. That's testimony. And that's what matters. It's the advance of the gospel. Praise the Lord for that. Be encouraged by that today. Now, the second thing, direction that I want to go with this passage that I think is so important in the time that we live in the sense of our community is what he goes on to say. He wants everybody to know in the church in Philippi, he wants everybody to know that the believers are being, those who know he's in prison for his faith, the believers who know he's in prison for his faith, they are now preaching bolder, more confident, and less fearful. Which again, this is awesome because it's like, hey, our fearless leader is in prison. So do we go underground or do we stand in the street corner? Do we hide and have church in secret? Or to go up to the marketplace and preach the gospel to anyone who will listen. Many of them began to preach more boldly. But Paul is interesting because Paul is so important to Paul that the gospel advances. So you would think that Paul, again though, in his spirit, you would think that Paul would have this piece of him that it was like, no, I do it the right way. Nobody else knows how to preach the way I preach. And it's got to be exactly the way I do it, or it's not going to work, or we're just going to split ways, and you're not doing preaching a sound gospel anymore. But instead, he has those so much differently because these people begin to preach boldly, and this is what he says. He says, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am in prison for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Not only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. In that I rejoice. Now, what I see in this is there's this spirit of rivalry and envy versus this spirit of love. See, he's identifying that some of these people who were preaching Christ were clearly antagonistic towards Paul, right? So they're clearly doing it in a way that they want to inflict him. They're like, well, if we make this a bigger deal, then maybe the guards will go in there and they'll hurt him more. Maybe they will martyr him. Maybe they will take his life. But it seems when you look at this, just to kind of clarify a little piece here of what's happening, when I look at this, it's important to note that it seems like these other Christians who were preaching were probably preaching a generally sound gospel, right? But yet for some reason they're at personal odds with Paul. For some reason, they're doing it in a way or for a motive that they think what's going to hurt Paul. And maybe they don't like Paul. Maybe in 1 Corinthians, maybe they didn't think, well, he's not really a good speaker. I mean, he's a great leader. He's a great church planner. He's a great writer. But scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, says Paul really wasn't a great orator. He wasn't a great speaker. Or maybe it was because he had this constant suffering and this weakness and that thorn in his side. But whatever the rationale, Paul wants us to know that some of these men preaching, their motive is not love. Their motive is not love. Their motive is not really to advance the gospel. Their motives are wrong. And Paul says, hey, I don't know, maybe they're self-serving. Maybe they're just trying to get rich. Maybe they're trying to start a cult. Whatever it is that they're doing, they're trying to hurt Paul in some way. And Paul says, like Jesus, he's not concerned. He's not concerned with his own interest. He's not concerned that they're going to hurt him. He's not even super concerned that they're doing something wrong. What he's concerned with and what really matters to him is that the gospel is progressing. Now, we have to make sure here that we realize what we're, to be completely fair to the whole counsel of Scripture, if you read the beginning of the book of Galatians, you will find that if Paul thought they were being heretical, he would have called them out on it. He would have done that, but apparently they're preaching some kind of a sound gospel where he's okay. You know what? It's okay that they're out to get me. It's okay that their motive is not love, that their motive is not to save souls, because he says, as long as Jesus is being preached, I rejoice because the gospel is advancing. So praise the Lord for that. Now, I think this is so relevant to a kind of a piece of our time and where we live in here in our community. Now, I want to be fair because I see this, I participate in the ministerium, I mingle with other pastors and other church leaders, right? So I want to be fair, but I don't think this is just something that's isolated to pastors. Because I know that so many congregants throughout this community, and I talk to other pastors, I generally know as people are floating from church to church, and I know that's just kind of, that happens a lot nowadays. So I know, you know, I know that none of you guys grew up here, right? Our church is 5 years old. I know none of you grew up here. We've got a handful of kids up there that are growing up here. But my point is, most of you didn't get saved here, so I know that there's some of that, right, that kind of floating back and forth between churches. But what happens, especially then when new churches come to town, just like with our church 5 years ago, we were the new church in town. And what happens kind of naturally in our flesh, in our carnal state, is this spirit of competition begins to kind of boil up to the surface. The spirit of rivalry begins to consume us. And what I've learned and what I think Paul would remind us of if he was here, especially based on this passage that we just read, is one, you need to remember who the enemy is. And the enemy is not the church down the street or the pastor down the street. And two, if someone is preaching Christ, you got to get behind them. You got to ride that with them. And at the end of the day, there could be a church on every street corner in Punxsutawney, and there could still be non-believers that walk past all of them every day. We need people preaching the gospel, and we need to work together, because any church that is preaching salvation by grace through Jesus, any church that believes that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, conquered death and hell, and by placing your faith in him, by confessing your sins to him, you can be saved. Any church that starts there, as long as they're not adding to or removing from the gospel, book of Galatians, I can get behind them. So I think we need to make sure that, you know, me as a pastor and we as a church don't allow a spirit of rivalry or a spirit of competition to hold us back, because the devil loves that. He loves it. If he can get all the Christians fighting about who puts a church where and what, the devil is just going to sit back and watch us destroy ourselves. And that is not God's will. And I believe we need to rise above that. And the antidote is most often prayer. Lord, if there's anything in my spirit, change it. If there's any negativity, any rivalry, any envy, any of that jealousy or any spirit of competition, Lord, remove it. So as we close today, the worship team is going to come up. As we wrap this all up today, I want to do something that we've never really done before, but I think is important because I think we need to just kind of lay this down, and maybe I need to lay this down. We laid it all down last night. That's the thing about two services. I got to pick it back up and lay it down the next day. Just kidding. But I want to take a moment, and I want to invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads where you're at. And I want to pray for the other churches and the other pastors in this community. Because at the end of the day, I want to be the kind of person that rejoices at the advance of the gospel, even if it doesn't advance here. Because what matters is soul winning. And if somebody else can come into town or somebody else down the street can reach souls and save souls in a way that has not been happening under our ministry, under God's ministry here, then I got to get behind that, because at the end of the day, I want to rejoice because the gospel's advancing. Because if the gospel's not advancing, then we're stagnant or stepping backwards. And the truth is, you can't be stagnant. You cannot plateau, just like in business. You're either gaining customers or losing customers. When my dad took over from my grandpa in the 80s, he couldn't rely on grandpa's customers for the last 20 years because grandpa's customers were retiring and dying at the same time as he was. You have to continue forward and save souls and pray that Jesus will come back, but pray that God knows when Jesus is to come back, because God wants no one to be lost. So if somebody else can preach the gospel in a way that drives people to him and it pierces hearts, so I got to get behind that. I gotta love that. We gotta love that. So I wanna name some churches and pastors here real quick and then pray for them and ask you, forgive me. This is not an exhaustive list. These are mostly the men that I know in churches that I know well enough that I can get behind. So if you're connected with any church in Punxsie that I don't mention here, forgive me. It's not saying that they don't pass my test or anything like that. This is just my list, okay? So bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. I want to pray for churches and pastors. First Church of God, Pastor Greg. First United Methodist Church, Pastor Paul. Crosstown Ministries, Pastor Clint. Alliance Church, Pastor Don. Assembly Church, Pastor Devin. Scotland Avenue, Pastor Kyle. Chestnut Grove, Pastor Joe. First English Lutheran, Pastor Russ. Salvation Army, Pastors Shane and Dawn. Tri-County Church, Pastor Chris. Let's pray. Father God, as we look at these names and we look at these churches, God, I believe that you have intentions, that you have plans for these pastors and for these churches. And I believe that as they preach the sound gospel, as they preach Christ crucified and resurrected so that we can be saved, Lord, I pray that on this day, in this morning, in their service, that as they preach the gospel, because we believe that wherever the good news that Jesus Christ saves is preached, that your spirit can plant seeds, can pierce hearts, can change lives and change families, save souls. Lord, I pray that as each one of these churches and others in town, that as they preach Jesus, that you explode their ministries. Lord, that people are saved, and that to know that ultimately if people got saved week in and week out at all of our churches, we'd have to build a mega church up on the hill beside Walmart and we still could barely hold all of them. Father God, I pray for revival in this community, and I pray for revival in every one of these churches. And Lord, I pray for humility if the revival in this community doesn't begin in our church, that I can say, you know what? At the end of the day, what matters to me is that revival is happening and that the gospel is advancing. Lord, may we be a people, may we be a church, a community, and may I be a pastor who can humbly lay my pride down at the end of the day and say, what matters to me is I rejoice at the advance of the gospel, no matter who walked that person through a prayer of repentance. Father God, I pray that you will do amazing work in these churches and in these men and in this community, and that you will start changing lives rapidly in our community. And I don't care where it happens, Lord. Make us believe these words. Lord, remove any spirit of rivalry or envy or competition that is happening in the church world of Punxsutawney or Jefferson County. Father, we lay it down. We surrender it. We walk away from it, and we ask, Lord, that you will forgive us for holding on to these things. The church is not going to grow until we're all willing to do that. Lord, this is a toll of the devil, and we will not let it win. We believe that your light can always overcome darkness. So, Father God, I pray that you will show us what you're doing, where you're doing it, and guide us to get around you and know that ultimately, as we ride with you, the truth is that as long as we're riding the wave of what you're doing by your Spirit, that you will always win and that you are always changing the world. So, Lord, we pray you will start changing lives and changing the world here in Punxsie and through all of these pastors' ministries, Lord, as they preach the sound, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Guide us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Fill us, Lord, and do an amazing work. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you'll stand with us, the worship team is going to come and close us out in a wonderful song today. So I pray that no matter what you're going through today, no matter what your life looks like, that you can look at it with a perspective that says, you know what? The gospel's advancing because I had the opportunity to talk to someone, or I have an opportunity to witness someday. So if there's anything that you want to pray for, be it the rivalry thing, be it something you're going through thing, these altars are always open and ready for you. If you want to pray about what God is doing and where he's calling you to plug into his work, where he's calling you to get on board with what he's doing, whatever that looks like, you can pray, come down here, and if you come to this side, I will leave you alone. If you come to this side, I will join you in prayer. Let's just kind of go like that. So won't you join us in a closing song?